they caught lightning in a bottle on that, though, and I'll age myself on this one, Andy. I mean, you had Goldmine and you had Salesforce in the 2000-ish year.
Yeah.
And Goldmine made some, in my opinion, in hindsight, you can be right. I mean, they were native on boxes, and Salesforce was in the cloud, and you could get it on your salespeople's devices. It was just a better platform. There was, it was just, like you say, easy to grab and lightning in a bottle, because it was right when CRMs really were changing the way companies were managing their sales process.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. What's an ERP and what's not an ERP will always be the classic debate in the ERP community. Surprisingly enough, even the largest of the largest companies missed their understanding of the secret sauce for Salesforce. They had always felt that CRM was just a module of ERP. And how much damage could a CRM company cause? Well, Salesforce is no longer just a threat. They have created a completely new category and expanded the market further than any ERP company would ever imagine. But what's next for them? Would they ever be able to replace the traditional ERP players in the departments other than CRM? Do they even want to or care to replace? If not, how are they going to grow? Can they keep creating a similar category as CRM? Well, Salesforce has been trying a lot of new things, including their expansion in the field service, e-commerce, and community category. But would these initiatives have the same impact and provide the same revenue growth as the CRM category? In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to discuss major stories in the ERP and digital transformation space and an objective and independent review of Salesforce's capability. We covered several grounds, including the core focus of their product and acquisition strategy, what their potential plan could be to meet the ambitious aim of the next revenue milestone and their competitors. Finally, we covered their exposure in each micro verticals and where they are likely to be fit as a solution and where they win the most. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And if you're joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We pick one topic or the vendor or the solution that we review independently, and we cover stories from the week that are going to be related to ERP or digital transformation. For today, we have a very exciting vendor called Salesforce. When you think of Salesforce, you might not think that it's an ERP company, but since we have been covering a lot of vendors that are sort of branching towards ERP, so obviously Salesforce is going to be super exciting to discuss what their product roadmap is and how they fit in the enterprise architecture as well as the ERP. Before we get to today's stories, we are going to start with everybody's intros. I am going to start with my intro. If you don't know me, I am Sam Gupta. I am principal at Elevate IQ. I have roughly 20 plus years of experience leading ERP and digital transformation engagements. And Salesforce is obviously part of most of the engagements. So I'm very excited to talk about that as part of Elevate IQ. We are the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm. We focus on the business process re-engineering, the enterprise architecture, system procurement, as well as the ERP implementation. On that note, I am going to ask Phil to introduce himself.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Sam. Phil Kerper, Managing Director of Ringling Business Solutions, coming to you from sunny Wisconsin. Ringling Business helps executive leadership teams align their digital investments with their core business plans to win. And I come to you after decades as CEO, president of mid-market companies, and a lot of implementations, particularly on ERPs and on Salesforce, particularly. So great to be here today, Sam.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Phil. Andy, can I move to you next for your intro?
Certainly, Sam. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Andy Pratico. I've been in ERP software for about 4 decades. And 2 decades, I've been working with CRM systems. So I've got a fair amount of experience. I've worked all over North America. And I, of course, I specialize with manufacturing companies. But thank you very much for having me join today.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Andy. And Sneha, you are joining after a long time. And if you are feeling that you have not been alive for 4 decades, you know, we all are in the same boat. Don't worry about that. Andy is a veteran. Okay, Sneha, go ahead.
Pardon me for aging myself.
Hey, everyone. Thank you, Sam. Yes, it's been a long time, but I have been in the audience watching the series, super knowledgeable. Hi, my name is Sneha Kumari. I am a supply chain leader and I've been doing operations and supply chain in manufacturing and home automation industries for 1 decade, for just over a decade now. So not too far off from Andy. I have been involved in ERP implementations, and Salesforce is something that I have used as a user, not really implemented. So I'm super excited about learning more about what's up with Salesforce and what's new, and also sharing a little from my experiences. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Sneha, again. And before we start with today's stories, if you are in the audience and joining for the first time, typically we are going to cover any of your comments and questions that you might have. So make sure you guys are going to be posting them in the comment section. Our panelists are going to be reviewing them, and we will try to cover them as much as possible. If we cannot get to them during the episode, then we'll make sure that we our panelists are going to get back to you. On that note, I am going to start with our first story, which is coming from our friends at Sage. And if you guys have been following the series, you might recognize that we have covered the story before. Which is the Sage, the acquisition of Bright Pearl by Sage. And this is the retail omnichannel system. You know, a lot of omnichannel systems are typically sold as the ERP, but obviously Bright Pearl was not really the ERP system. It's the omnichannel system, and that's why Sage ended up acquiring that, so that it can work as the front-end system, you know, on the Sage very strong accounting platform. It's part of the Sage Intacct portfolio. As you guys know, as we have covered during the Sage episode, that Sage Intacct wasn't as present in the manufacturing or the product-centric industries that is going to be your distribution retail. It typically wins in the other industries, such as not-for-profit. It wins in the financial services. It wins, you know, with companies that are going to have a lot of different entities, and they are going to have very strong financial mix. The inventory capabilities itself are not very strong, and that's why they sort of wanted to club it with the Bright Pearl's capabilities. So as part of this news, they have already completed this acquisition. When we covered this last time, one thing we were not sure, okay, what Sage was going to do with the Bright Pearl. So that is clear now in the news. We were thinking that, you know, they were probably going to consume Bright Pearl, because when Bright Pearl was sold standalone, it was getting integrated with a lot of different ERP systems in the market. So one thing that Sage could have done is it could have killed all of those integrations, and they could have mandated that now Bright Pearl is only going to be sold as part of the Sage platform, the Sage Intacct platform. Just to be clear, it's part of the Sage Intacct umbrella. Now, this is the problem that a lot of different add-ons and the applications that are going to be Edge are probably going to go through, because let's say if you are looking for the acquisition strategy, if a product gets acquired in the market, then the acquirer is going to decide what is going to happen to the product. In this particular case, the customers that are going to be on the other ERP system and they might be using Bright Pearl kind of got lucky, because Sage did not really change the strategy that from this point forward, they might only be selling it on top of your Sage Intacct. That could change at any point of time, because now Sage owns it. So they have made it very clear that Sage plans to continue to offer Bright Pearl as a market solution, providing merchants with the choice of accounting modules or the accounting platform. It's very, very clear here. I don't have anything else that we need to cover that we have already covered.
So for the most part here, they are saying Sage is in the process of onboarding early adopter customers to an integrated solution between Sage Intacct and Brightpearl. My understanding is that they already had some customers, but now I think they may have integrated. I don't know if it was pre-integrated before the acquisition, but seems like they are definitely looking for the customers on the integrated solution. Yeah, that's pretty much it on the story. Do you guys have any comments, Phil, Andy, Sneha?
I think that's a good choice, and I'm sure the Brightpearl people are happy, the customers are happy. It'll be interesting to see what connectors and what advantage they make in order to have them get an advantage by putting those two together, because certainly background with Sage that I have is we always did look for an alternative or another party's platform for the e-commerce side of it.
Yeah. So if you look at the native capabilities of Sage Intacct, I'm definitely not talking about the add-ons. It was never designed for the retail and distribution. And when the add-on is actually going to do a job of that core functionality that your retail and distributions are going to need, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad that it's at least natively integrated. But as far as my understanding of the Brightpearl system was that it was more of the omni-channel system. So that would be comparable to your e-commerce platforms. In case of e-commerce platforms, for example, let's say if you are going to build this capability on top of Shopify or Magento or BigCommerce, then obviously you need to build the capability. You are not going to get omni-channel capabilities out of the box. But in case of Brightpearl, you are going to get that. But as such, I mean, it's not supposed to be your ERP system. It's still a very front-facing, the omni-channel e-commerce centric solution. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the integration is going to work. Any other comments, guys? Okay. If not, then we have the next story, and it is coming from our friends at Aptean. And Aptean has a very, very, very interesting. And obviously, Aptean is trying to find its own, small places where they can sort of squeeze in. And they are trying to find the areas where they are able, they might be able to compete with the bigger vendors that are in the manufacturing space. For example, obviously, Infor is going to be in display. Your ECI is going to be in display. Apicore is going to be in display. So the way Aptean is approaching this market, they are going for very small European markets. And those are very niche markets. You are not going to find, I don't know how many vendors you are really going to find in that market that is going to be slightly more global. You know, you might have local ERPs that might be in countries like Austria. So they are following the strategy where they are trying to acquire the ERP systems from those countries and trying to bring under the portfolio as the sort of the company, the way ECI is approaching the market, the way Infor has stopped doing that. Apicore is kind of approaching in the similar fashion, but they are not necessarily acquiring the ERP systems anymore. They are acquiring the edge apps that are helping them fill the holes in their portfolio. The only two companies that I am aware of at this point of time that are really acquiring the ERP companies to gain the market share is going to be ECI and it's going to be Aptean. In case of ECI, they are acquiring the companies that are going to be slightly more e-commerce centric, really in that in the QuickBooks play where they are going to have much deeper industry capabilities. They are not trying to compete with Apicore or Infor. They are trying to compete with those QuickBooks like companies that require much deeper capabilities from the industry perspective, and they might not have the budget. But Aptean has very different strategy overall from the corporate strategy perspective, and they are trying to acquire those smaller niches in the international market. So here they are saying that, obviously here Jet ERP is the name of the company, a leading provider of enterprise resource planning ERP software in Austria, okay? Operating under the brand Data System Solutions Made in Austria for more than half a century. Okay, so Jet ERP is a developer of ERP and ancillary solutions for more than 350 customers in the manufacturing and construction industry. So obviously the solution is designed for manufacturing and construction. So you are going to think that now that's probably going to be comparable to Apicore. Well, okay, if you actually go for Apicore or Infor, they might not have localization for countries like Austria. So you have very sophisticated package for manufacturing that is going to have localization for Austria. So it's going to be superior than something like if you go for SAP Business by Design or Microsoft Business Central, because those are the only countries that are probably going to have the global capabilities when you are Austria-based business. So it's a very unique place to be to go after these companies. So here they are saying it's clients rely on companies' range of accounting, finance, and document management products to control costs. Now, these feature sets might appear very similar and duplicate, but as such, the reason why they acquired is because of that Austria market that they are trying to go after. Aptean has recently made a significant commitment to growth in the DACH region. I had no idea what that region is. This is the first time I came across that, but these are the, I think, Denmark, Austria, Czech, and Hungary, if I am getting this right. Region through its acquisitions of Modula, Agiles, Remisor, and Istomer, and Jet ERP. So now we have five ERPs in the same region, which bring strong local focus and right product features. And obviously, the demand is increasing because it's a very developing market. That's my understanding of the market. If you guys have any comment, I can take those. But this is a very interesting acquisition for Aptean. So the next news that we have is coming from our friends at ECI. So as we know, we have just spoken about ECI. ECI is trying to develop the specific capabilities in those smaller markets. So in this particular case, they are trying to demonstrate some really cool feature in the Builders Society conference. And they, some of the features, you know, are going to be really unique to these markets. So here we are talking about the Bolt and ITK integration. Bolt, a project management and scheduling software for trade contractors. Okay, so in the trade contractor space, if I remember correctly, I don't know if Deltek is going to be a fit in this market, but obviously Deltek is probably going to be a much bigger solution. Apicor likes to operate in this market, but they like to go after more of the electrical contractors. But again, ECI is going to have far smaller solution compared to your Apicor. So it's eliminating the need to manually enter purchase order data by integrating with Mark Systems Internet Toolkit, ITK. I have no idea what that is, but seems like they are trying to automate the POs, which is probably a big deal for those smaller companies. And then we have the Lasso CRM. And Lasso was a super hit CRM when they were standalone, and then ECI ended up acquiring, and now they are trying to position themselves in the real estate market and the builders market. So here, the leading customer relationship management solution for new home sales, Lasso CRM, is now has mobile app available on iOS and Android. Okay, so here they have some very unique feature, such as, let's say, if you have to search for registrants. Now, if you are going to utilize Salesforce for this, obviously it's not going to work unless you are using some sort of add-on. So these are very unique capabilities in this market. Updating ratings and follow-up processes, again, very unique in this market. Managing appointments, as well as creating activities, notes, and history that probably you can pull off using Salesforce, but the other things might be trickier. So obviously, Lasso is probably going to work by default for the trade contractor industry. Here, they are also doing the construction project management. Software Build Tools is offering a more flexible scheduling process for its users via a drag and drop interface. As we know, in the construction market, we have Sage. You know, Sage 300 was the legacy solution. Now, Sage Intacct might be able to compete there because now they have the construction capabilities as well. Who else is there in the construction market that we have reviewed? Phil, I'm looking for some help here. Andy?
Well, Timberline is always the most popular one out there.
Yeah, right. We had some more that I am missing. I think Deltek is present.
I was going to say Deltek. Yeah. And this is the National Association of Home Builders. So particular to contractors and builders that are in the residential home space, architects, those types of people attend this show. So that's kind of who they're aiming at.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So guys, if you don't have any other comments, I think we are done with today's story. And then we are going to start with today's topic, which is going to be Salesforce. Okay. So I am actually going to brief you guys on Salesforce, a little bit about their journey. Obviously, you guys know who Salesforce is as a company, but overall, from the corporate strategy perspective, I'll provide you some insight in terms of how their products are structured, what they are trying to do as a company. So one of the things that we have covered as part of our workday session, which I find similar, companies in terms of the way these companies grew. For example, Salesforce, Workday, ServiceNow, to some extent, Coupa, I think these four, they actually picked just one slice from the functions. For example, let's say in case of Salesforce, they are going after, you know, sales and marketing. In case of Workday, they are going after HR. In case of ServiceNow, they are probably going after IT and field service. And then you have the Coupa, which is going after procurement. So they are trying to penetrate just because they cannot really compete with the big boys in the ERP space. So they really try to innovate in that space, and they are trying to figure out, okay, what else can I do? Because right now, if you look at these companies, they really rule this particular function. For example, Salesforce is really leader in CRM. There's no question about that. Workday is really a leader in the HR. So let's say if you are building the best of breed architecture, obviously you are going to go for all of these applications that are going to be really best with their capabilities for the specific function. And then probably you are going to utilize one of the ERPs as the backend. But obviously, if you look at the journey of these companies, they all are trying to penetrate into the other areas so that they can obviously. One of the things that was very unique to Salesforce's journey was the way they really redefined the CRM category, to be honest. Okay. If you actually go 5 to 10 years back, nobody was really afraid of Salesforce. But now, you know, the way they have expanded in the CRM category, that's a new market. None of the ERP players, especially the bigger ones, if you talk about SAP, Oracle, they never understood that CRM could be this big a player. And obviously, right now, if you look at the size of the Salesforce, I don't think any of the companies that we have reviewed, for example, Workday or ServiceNow, can come close to how strong Salesforce is at this point of time. In fact, I mean, that has probably become as big as your SAP or Oracle. In fact, one of the shocking finding that you might find is Salesforce does not consider SAP or Oracle as its competitor. For Salesforce, it's always going to be Microsoft. Okay, that's who they consider as their competitor. Again, if you look at SAP, SAP is going to consider Salesforce as their competitor. Salesforce never considers SAP as their competitor. They can consider Microsoft as their first. And the only reason why that is because Microsoft has the number two position in the CRM space. Nobody else, for example, Oracle, SAP, they don't really have that authority in the CRM space. They have authority in the ERP space. But as far as the scope of the CRM goes, even Microsoft may not have as large market share in the ERP. They are always the CRM first company from their ERP exposure perspective. Now, with cloud, Microsoft F&O, and Business Central, things might be changing a bit. Microsoft is winning a lot overall in the ERP play as well. But overall, the way Microsoft portfolio positioning was, the reps were instructed to lead with CRM first. And they still do that, I guess. And that's the reason why Salesforce considers Microsoft as their first competitor. They don't consider SAP or Oracle as their competitor, even though they are going to be either equally big or probably bigger in terms of their focus. We are going to be reviewing some of their acquisitions, the way they are approaching the market and why they are acquiring those companies. One of the key differentiators between Salesforce and Workday's strategy is going to be Workday, as we had noticed, that it was a very enterprise play, meaning they don't like to compete in the mid-market. They don't like to target mid-market. In case of Salesforce, it's a different strategy. Okay, they like to target pretty much every single company out there. They want to lead with the CRM. In fact, if you actually look at their first offering, that's a completely separate product than their enterprise product. Even though the look and feel and the user experience might be similar, but the baby product that they have is not the same as the main product. If you have to migrate from your baby product to the main product, that's going to be a migration from product one to product two, even though the user experience is going to be similar. Now, in terms of their target strategy, they like to target direct, even though they have a channel. Their comp model is very different as well. It's very similar to NetSuite, the way NetSuite likes to approach the market. Phil, Andy, what else do we cover as part of the briefing?
You're mentioning Oracle and SAP, and Salesforce doesn't consider them as competitors. I don't think Oracle or SAP have standalone CRM offerings, do they?
So depending upon how you want to define the CRM, SAP definitely has, Oracle has it as well. They just don't, they are not leader in that. They don't like to lead from the CRM perspective, but SAP definitely has, in fact, it's probably going to be similar to Salesforce, they might be slightly deeper in some capabilities to be.
I'm not sure to Andy's point, I'm not sure you can buy that standalone though. I think
CRM?
That just as a CRM.
You can definitely do that.
Okay, that's I'm helpful. Positive. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah.
I was going to say the power that I've seen in Salesforce is they dominated, like you say, the CRM space. But then when you look at their service cloud and their marketing cloud that you can put next to that, it really has created an amazing custom front-end customer journey platform to build a business on. And they, I think a lot of their success is because they're so strong in the outreach to the customer, as well as the customer coming back from a service standpoint that goes against their CRM platform. It's really, really outstanding in that spot.
Yeah. So once we actually review the flights and once we go over their journey, where they are winning, to be honest, then you will come to know that they are in a very different space from the ERP perspective, even though they might be present in most of the enterprise accounts because they like to create the best of breed architecture. But from the mid-market perspective, I don't know how present they are or how successful they are in the companies where you are going to have one of the leaders. So we'll see, where they are winning and which are the target market for them. We are going to review all of that. Do you guys have any other comments? Okay, so here, a couple of, observations overall from the Salesforce perspective. There's no question that they are number one CRM platform. Obviously, they are the leader and they really have, everything that any company would need from the CRM capability. But again, with any software, the fit is going to be important. Salesforce is not designed for every single industry. Just because Salesforce is number one, it does not mean that it is going to work in every single situation, but it's pretty good, overall. So now they have also become number one in the analytics. And that is because of their Tableau acquisition. And Tableau was already, number one. And that's the reason why they have acquired, because the way Salesforce is trying to operate as a company is they are trying to create that customer data platform play in the CRM space, which is very, very, very strong. And even the most of the ERP deals, if you participate in any of them, they are typically driven by either customer experience, marketing, sales. And that's why Salesforce is going to have sort of the edge in leading that conversation. ERP is always the afterthought. It's always going to be that CRM play that companies are trying to improve. And that's why Salesforce is so successful, because they could really connect with the sales and marketing that most ERP companies still struggle to date. So they have played really smart. They have acquired Tableau and they are trying to create that customer 360, which was always the goal, but now they have the Tableau platform and the customer data platform. Most of the other companies are going to have the customer data platform as well, by the way. It's not that only Salesforce has, SAP has, Oracle has, Microsoft has, everybody has, but Salesforce has Tableau. Obviously, that was very well penetrated in the market, so they can combine these two offerings. The other smart thing that Salesforce did is they were sort of trying to cover the ERP play, and they wanted to acquire the integration, which is the MuleSoft, one of the most successful iPasses out there. So what they wanted to do is, your differentiator is really the customer experience sales marketing, right? So I am actually going to provide you the integration. I am going to be the front face, and everything else is just backend. That's how they tried to position in the market. That's why they wanted to acquire MuleSoft, which was very, very, very successful in connecting with, whichever ERPs you want, as long as Salesforce is the front end. That's what they wanted to create, and that's why they acquired MuleSoft for a lot of money. This coming year, their expectation to surpass $25 billion in revenue, on our way to our goal of $50 billion in next 5 years. $50 billion, guys. It's a big deal, okay? If you compare this with SAP's revenue, obviously, it's very comparable. I think SAP, I don't recall the exact number, but now it's fairly similar. And by the way, Salesforce has been in the market since 1999. So it's a phenomenal growth. That's all you can say about Salesforce's journey. Here they are saying, we use Sales Cloud to engage with our customers from anywhere, having millions of conversations to ensure we remain relevant to their success. We use Marketing Cloud. By the way, a lot of ERP companies, they think of CRM as the, just get the order and let me process it. That's not how CRM plays. CRM is far bigger. You have the whole pre-sales process. Okay, that's typically extremely bloated that you have to manage. In a lot of industries, when you have to do those, territory management, the sales compensation management, when you have to do quoting, that whole piece could be very, very, very complex. And that's why companies really like Salesforce, because, they are able to manage the entire sales and marketing process, obviously they have the marketing, automation presence as well in terms of the Pardot. Now, other competitor that you are going to have in this space are going to be Adobe, which has Marketo, and then you are going to have HubSpot. But HubSpot, from the CRM perspective, as far as my experience goes, it's weak from the CRM perspective. It's really strong in the marketing automation play. But if you look at the B2B scenarios in the CRM play, the way their object structure is, it's very, very, very loose. And then in my experience, HubSpot was really designed for slightly more consumer-centric companies. But they try to claim that they were also designed for service companies. But based on the kind of implementations that we have seen, HubSpot really struggles with the core CRM functionality when you are going to have the fund allocation, the territory planning. You need to do a lot of development on top of HubSpot to be able to get those features. You are going to get this out of the box in case of Salesforce. And that's why the companies that are going to be sophisticated in their sales department, they really appreciate the CRM functionality of Salesforce. Most of the sales leaders that I know of, they absolutely love Salesforce. Okay, so there is one announcement that we noticed in case of Workday as well. So Salesforce is trying to create a new platform called Hyperforce, which is more of the newer announcement. What Hyperforce is, most of the bigger companies, especially in the tech space, they are trying to decouple themselves with these large cloud vendors because there is a lot of competition in them as well. For example, let's say if Microsoft is going to be your main competitor. Now, if you are going to use Azure as part of your cloud platform, obviously Microsoft, there is a significant risk, strategic risk overall for Salesforce. That's why Salesforce was always aligned with AWS. It was never aligned with any other platform. There were some rumors that Google is probably going to acquire Salesforce. I don't know how that was going to work out because Google does not really have any sort of experience in the enterprise space, and Salesforce is a very B2B enterprise company. But that could be one strategic alignment that you probably could go to Google Cloud. So I think what Salesforce has decided, and I don't know if this is a move to move more into the infrastructure play, that's a possibility because the kind of deep pockets that Salesforce, there is a possibility that they might move in the infrastructure play the way AWS is or your Microsoft is. So here they are trying to create Hyperforce. I don't know what they are going to do with Hyperforce, but right now one thing is clear that they are either trying to create this vendor agnostic architecture from the cloud perspective so that they can have a little bit more control as opposed to be completely relying on AWS, or they might be building their own data center and might be decoupling themselves from AWS just because they are so big. Now, here they are saying with Service Cloud, we managed our own caseload. Obviously, they are very strong in the field service. This is the area that they have expanded based on some of the recent acquisitions that they have done, such as Click Software. We are going to review all of that, why they acquired these companies and where they got all of these capabilities. But field service is going to be one area where Salesforce is moving very aggressively, and Microsoft has large presence there as well. Obviously, ServiceNow is going to have a lot of presence there too. So Salesforce is sort of trying to move in that space. The other area that they are trying to move into is going to be a lot of things related to employee experience. So I don't know what is going to be the next move, whether they are going to develop their own HCM capabilities or they are going to be acquiring Workday. That's a possibility. I think we discussed last time as well. There is a clear alignment that Workday and Salesforce could come together, and that's going to be a powerful combination. We'll see how that conversation goes. But right now, they are definitely doing a lot of things from the employee experience and the community experience perspective as well. We are going to be talking about Slack. Slack is a very new play for them. They are trying to develop newer category the way they have developed the CRM. So they are trying to do similar thing from Slack perspective as well. A lot of salespeople that I have personally spoken to, they feel that Slack is doing wonders in the sales cycle. There's a possibility. I'm not too sure because I don't have personal experience in that. But obviously, they paid a lot of money to Slack. And how they are going to get revenue from this channel is, we are going to see that right now. It's not clear how they are going to be monetizing the Slack acquisition. One of the backstory that you guys might not be familiar with, there was a big competition between Microsoft and Salesforce when they were trying to buy LinkedIn. Okay, LinkedIn was really mad overall when Microsoft ended up acquiring LinkedIn, because Salesforce, this was really aligned with Salesforce. They really wanted that. They wanted to integrate LinkedIn with Salesforce platform, but then Microsoft actually ended up acquiring. So, Salesforce was really mad at that acquisition. Now, they acquired GitHub after that because they actually wanted to control the development community. And here, there is a little bit of play here. So if you look at the Microsoft Teams, the Teams used to compete with Zoom as well as your Slack, those two. So obviously, they didn't want to lose the opportunity because the collaboration was happening. Zoom was doing really well in the market. So I don't know if this was really because they didn't want Microsoft to acquire Slack, because that could be a possibility based on the way Microsoft was moving. But Salesforce ended up acquiring Slack. So let's see how that acquisition is going to go. But they are definitely trying to create some sort of category here with Slack acquisition, which is going to redefine sales process, the way we are going to see sales. A couple of other observations here. The backlog that we saw in case of SAP, Salesforce has similar backlog. Most likely, my understanding is going to be that, it is because of that. So here they are saying they have 36 billion remaining performance obligation. So I think that is the revenue that is not recognized, but they already have the contract. So that's a good sign in general. And they have had really good growth, 24% year over year, 21 billion. That is FY21 revenue. And the cash flow is pretty good as well. So that said, do you guys have any comments?
I just want to add about your point on the analytics and how especially Salesforce leads in it. And being a user, I've actually seen the power of it. Like, I'm able to measure the performance of, what kind of scorecards I got, what kind of data, like the data visualization that I can actually do through dashboards and looking at my historical data and what my trends were. And, being able to get some estimates there, forecasting, reporting is so seamless in Salesforce that it really makes this whole platform super powerful. Coming to your point, I'm touching into different, coming to your point on their integration with Slack, I use Slack a lot more extensively also at work. And I'm very, very interested because Slack of late has been coming up with a lot of new features in terms of, building inherent meeting capabilities. And, I'm just thinking, how will they make use of their channels and see how they can bring the customer support system on that platform? I'm super interested to see what exactly they are aiming to deliver by integrating Slack. Like, having used both, like as a user, I am intrigued about this integration altogether.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting. Any other comments, guys? Okay, so I'm actually going to move to the next slide. And here we have the financials available from Salesforce. So here they are saying Salesforce is a global leader in the customer relationship management, and they are very clear in that. And this is exactly what we saw in case of Workday as well. They were crystal clear that they were ruling the category called HCM and the HR. So Salesforce has been very clear that they are a CRM play. They are not an ERP play. A lot of people might think that, they are an ERP company. Salesforce never defines itself as the ERP company, even though they might have a lot of tech add-ons that might act as the ERP, but Salesforce is not necessarily an ERP company just yet. They might be developing the capabilities, or they might be acquiring companies to get the ERP capabilities. But as of today, they are the leading player in the CRM space. That brings companies and their customers together. With our Customer 360 platform, we deliver a single source of truth connecting customer data across systems, apps, devices to help companies sell, service, market, and conduct commerce. Okay, these four keywords: sell, service, market, and conduct commerce. These are four pillars that Salesforce likes to focus on. Even though they are saying single source of truth, it could mean a lot of different things when you look at the enterprise architecture. But for them, single source of truth is going to be more from that customer 360 perspective. A lot of companies are going to claim that they have the customer 360, but when you do that across the apps, across these channels, it becomes really, really hard to create that customer 360. And Salesforce object model is very rich in doing that. And this is where my problem with HubSpot is. HubSpot is an amazing marketing automation tool. But when it comes to that, the object structure that sales teams need, it really struggles in that core CRM functionality. So now, if you actually look at their acquisition strategy or the product strategy, it's going to be around those four themes, which is going to be sell, service, market, commerce. Okay, pay attention to that. So here they are saying, since its founding in 1999, Salesforce has pioneered innovations in cloud, mobile, social, okay, blah, 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 not important. Okay, so here they are saying they are a direct Salesforce company, and that is their primary channel overall in terms of go-to-market, which is similar to NetSuite. This is how NetSuite grew. Their primary channel is the direct Salesforce. That's very interesting, because the way your partner channel is going to be, there are always pros and cons. But in case of Salesforce, and by the way, the way they are going to be investing in the product, so in their case, they have far thicker sales and service organization compared to the other companies. So here they are saying, we also enable third parties to use our platform and developer tools to create additional functionality and new applications that run on our platform, which are sold separately from or in conjunction with our service offering. Now, any of the ERP add-ons or the modules that you are going to see, that's going to be part of the marketplace. Okay, Salesforce has one of the richest marketplace. Okay, across the ERP vendors or the CRM vendors, their developer ecosystem is really vibrant, and Salesforce is making sure that companies are able to develop the additional capabilities that they need. In case of CRM, okay, some of the add-ons are going to be super meaningful, because they don't really touch your operational process. When you are going to be touching the operational process or the financial processes, that's where your data integrity is going to be slightly more questionable. In case of CRM play, what you are going to do before placing that sales order, sometimes that's okay if you are going to use a lot of add-ons. And that's why Salesforce Market Play is successful. But typically, when you are looking at add-ons from any company, your risk is going to be similar, irrespective of whether you are buying it from Salesforce or from anybody else. So add-on is add-on, irrespective of whether that sits on top of Salesforce or SAP. It has all the risk, such as your vendor conflicts, vendor-owned code, the architectural clarity between the add-ons that you are going to acquire, whether those add-ons are going to work together with your product or not. What happens if the OEM is going to lose the relationship with the add-on provider? What do you do next? There may be a case where when your product might not work for your business if add-on is going to be really critical for your business operations. So these are some of the risks that you should be thinking about when you are looking at that. Now, one of the key acquisitions, which was slightly off from the way Salesforce operates, okay? They acquired one company called Vlocity. And I don't know whether you guys are familiar with Vlocity or not. Vlocity was Salesforce's bar, okay? They had very thick industry functionality as part of Vlocity. They acquired this for a lot of money. Okay, obviously Salesforce was struggling in, you know, manufacturing vertical. They have been trying to get into manufacturing for a very long time. They have been very successful with the CRM play, but it's sort of there, it's not there. It's very hard for Salesforce. They acquired Vlocity, but Vlocity has had presence in their key verticals. If you look at the success of Salesforce, where they are really successful, okay, they are successful in very unique verticals, which are going to be your financial services, which are going to be your insurance, which are going to be a lot of non-ERP verticals, the way we like to define in this community. And we'll see whether they are really successful in verticals such, you know, your manufacturing, distribution. We are going to see all of that. Obviously, Salesforce Commerce is very successful. That's why they have a lot of presence in the retail space. But overall, when you look at the core manufacturing distribution, the product-centric, ERP-centric industries, Salesforce struggles there. They only are present because of their strong CRM. They are not there because of anything else. Most likely, companies are going to be utilizing a lot of different add-ons on top of Salesforce, for example, Financial Force, Bootstock. But an add-on is an add-on, guys. You need to keep that in mind. Okay. So here we are going to be talking about Vlocity a lot more, you know, what their core capabilities were and why they ended up acquiring. But they acquired because they were present in those verticals such as communication, insurance. That's where they got thick ERP functionality for those industries that nobody had in the market. So, you know, that's why Salesforce does really, really well in those verticals. So here they are saying, you know, delivering success from anywhere also meant developing new technologies like, and now with COVID, they are, I believe, the only company that are really winning in the government space where you need this community-centric delivery. For example, let's say if you talk about contact tracing. And so here they are trying to go after all of the touches that are going to be slightly more customer-centric or the consumer-centric. Those are the places they are really trying to touch. And with COVID, they got the contact tracing, because if you look at cities, what is the customer for a city? You know, it's going to be the residents that are living in there. So for them, that experience is very important. That's why they are actually trying to build that community experience. And they already have these public sector customers and they are trying to develop additional capabilities so that they can penetrate in all of those verticals, which is going to be your service, sales, market, and commerce. Now, this is going to be slightly more community-centric experience, which is probably the fifth pillar, but they have not really specified that because they are still new in that space. So here they are saying, you know, more than 150 international, federal, state, and local government agencies and healthcare organizations are using Salesforce technology for vaccine management and COVID-19 tracking. And by the way, I mean, that is because the Tableau obviously was very present in the healthcare space, in the public sector space. So they are able to win a lot of different deals because of that. In the sales here, they are saying, you know, sales 360, entire sales process from leads to opportunities to billing. But when they say billing, they are not talking about the invoicing billing. They are, you know, simply talking about the customer centric part of billing, which is not the actual billing. It's just the communication piece, allowing them to sell faster, smarter, and in the way they want. Our customers use Salesforce offerings to store data, monitor leads and progress, forecast opportunities. Yes, you are right. Gain insights through analytics and relationship intelligence and deliver quotes, contracts, and invoices. Guys, pay attention to the word deliver. Okay. They are not creating those invoices. They are simply delivering it. There is a, you know, difference between just delivering versus creating. So depending upon how your architecture is, you want that if you care for the experience, then you are probably going to ask Salesforce, you know, marketing automation to deliver that. But for the most part, they are created inside your ERP. In case of service across any touch points from phone to digital channels to self-service portals with connected omni-channel engagement, obviously the omni-channel experience is very tricky to implement, and Salesforce is able to enable that for a lot of companies. That's why Salesforce is really attractive. Our service offering also helps our customers. Okay, now there's a difference. So when you say customers, now we are talking one level deep here. Okay, when you look at those telecom companies, they might have a lot of different dealers and they might have consumers. So now in case of that, you really need to care for that end consumer service. And that's where Salesforce does really, really well when you are talking about layers and layers of sales cycle and layers of the distribution, where they are saying resolve top routine issues with predictions, recommendations, and chatbots across digital channels. In addition, service offers a field service solution that enables companies to connect agents, dispatcher, and mobile. Guys, they didn't have the field service capabilities. They got it because of the recent acquisition. So we are going to look into that. I can take any comments you might have. Otherwise, I'm going to move to the next slide. Okay, so here we are talking about the next pillar, which is the marketing and commerce. Obviously, their marketing is extremely strong. Here they are saying enables companies to plan, personalize, optimize one-to-one customer marketing journeys. Obviously, HubSpot is going to do all of that as well. But here we are talking about Pardot is the product that Salesforce has. Now they call marketing cloud. People typically like the Salesforce as the CRM, HubSpot as the marketing automation. That's the combination that we typically see in the market because Salesforce is obviously going to be extremely expensive. In the beginning, at least, HubSpot could be slightly cheaper for the marketing automation scenarios. So that's why companies sort of like to use the Salesforce plus HubSpot combination. But, you know, Salesforce has the complete suite if you are trying to create that experience without worrying about the integration. So here they are saying including interactions across email, mobile, social, web, connected products. And obviously, this is going to be a connected customer experience. The commerce is obviously very strong. Okay, it competes with, you know, products like SAP Hybris, which is another strong product in the commerce category. There's no question about that. It's an amazing product, SAP Hybris. Okay, there are some other commerce products, you know, that compete in that space. But, you know, SAP Hybris and Salesforce Commerce obviously are going to be two leading in that category. Oracle has a lot of presence, but right now I don't know how they are doing in this. So some of the verticals that Oracle really used to do well, I think they lost some market share there because they are now winning in the ERP. But overall, I think it's a zero-sum game. They are winning somewhere, they are losing somewhere because some of the products that did really well in the past, now they are not doing as well. Now SAP acquired some of the e-commerce capabilities and they are able to do well in these verticals, but they are losing in the core ERP game a little bit. Here they are saying, the commerce service offerings empowers brands to unify the customer experience across all points of commerce, including mobile, web, you know, social store. Obviously, they are not doing justification for the kind of commerce capabilities that you are going to see inside Salesforce Commerce. It's really rich. If you are trying to create that commerce experience, if you are a very strong retail company, Salesforce Commerce is a very strong product. Experience, our experience service offerings, formerly Community. Now, Community is a very tricky play. Microsoft has a lot of presence there. I don't know how successful that is in the Community play, but this is where I think Salesforce is trying to utilize Slack to create that experience, okay? They are going to be utilizing the Slack channels for each of their customers, and now you can see how much collaboration they are going to get from the Community experience perspective. So that's a very strong play to enable that experience, and that's why they must have acquired Slack. So here they are saying experience enables companies to create and manage the trusted branded digital destinations for customers, partners, and employees. Again, when you look at the overall distribution channel, it gets really, really sort of layered when you look at a lot of players that are going to be involved in the sales process. I don't have any other observations here. The integration is really enabled by MuleSoft. Yeah, so here they are saying our service offerings are suited to meet the needs of our customers in certain industries, such as for financial services, healthcare, and life sciences, and education, and nonprofit. Okay, you are not going to see any of the manufacturing, retail, or distribution because that's not their target market. Their target market really is the financial services, healthcare, life sciences, education, and not-for-profit. That's where they do really well because they don't require the core ERP overall from the capabilities perspective. Okay, if you guys have any comments, I can take those. Otherwise, I can move to the next slide. So here, obviously, their goal, they have highlighted one of the goal for the growth strategy is going to be how can I expand my relationship with the existing. And obviously, that is going to be, okay, how can I get more piece of the pie, which would mean that, okay, I'm already present in my sales and marketing department. What else can I do to move further or make the product bigger? So here, obviously, they are thinking about that. So as our customers realize the benefits of our entire suite of service offerings, we aim to upgrade the customer experience with new products, premium editions, and additional subscription by targeting new functional areas and business use. Now, they have been very clear here that they are trying to target other business units. What is going to be that next? So obviously, they have been trying to get into field service, which is a very strong play for them for some of the industries that they are targeting. For in some industries, for example, communication, insurance, in that they have far deeper functionality to get to the other business units, but it's going to be really hard for them to compete with likes of SAP and Infor, Epicor if they are trying to compete more in the manufacturing verticals. So they are not trying to go there because these industries have far more space for them to be able to grow. Here, security through our own development, acquisitions, and partnerships with existing customers through our additional support offerings. Customers, a digital trusted advisor, everybody is. Salesforce is not the only one inspiring enterprise-wide digital transformation. Obviously, sales and marketing are always going to be the driver. Then you are probably going to do a lot of ERP work as well as part of those digital transformation engagement. But it always starts either from sales, marketing, or customer experience. And that's where Salesforce really have an edge towards these engagements and the customers. And they are also trying to grow globally in the newer regions. Obviously, they are doing really well in North America. They are present globally, but that's going to be their next strategy, how they are trying to grow. Expanding into new categories and verticals, they are extremely clear here. So they are saying we are delivering innovative solutions in new categories driven by our existing and potential customers' needs, include analytics, e-commerce, collaboration, integration, and by the way, guys, workforce management. Okay, so this is where they have really clarified that they are probably doing a little bit more in the workforce management. So I don't know if they are going to develop the HCM capabilities as part of the suite, or they might be eyeing towards, Workday acquisition, but they are definitely thinking either the field service or the workforce management. That's probably going to be the next thing that they will be doing. Expect to continue type of category expansion in the future. For example, in fiscal 2021, we introduced Work.com in response to COVID-19 pandemic. Work.com offers new technology solutions and resources to business and community leaders around the world, reopen safety, reskill employees, and respond efficiently on the heels of the pandemic. So again, this is a very HR play. We didn't see these capabilities in case of Workday, so they are trying to tap into a newer market. And I don't know whether they are going to be developing far deeper HCM capabilities, or they might end up acquiring one of the HCM players in the market. But that seems to be the next thing that they are trying to do. Again, these are the same industries that they have called out. So it is financial services, healthcare, life sciences, education, and not-for-profit, those five. If you have any comments, I can take those or move to the next slide.
Well, I was just going to say that Salesforce has done an amazing job in basically taking over the market of the CRM space. Where they really got their foot in the door at the beginning was they had a low entry cost to get into it. And it was, of course, monthly because it's a SaaS offering. So it was easy for the middle managers to get approval. They had authority at that level. So they were able to get these things put through without any budgets. So they've done an exceptionally great job of getting a very long following. And of course, now they're doing amazing.
So the only comment I'm going to have there is there were like a million SaaS companies there, and they were actually following the same strategy. And there's only one company that is 50% in revenue, and that is Salesforce.
Yeah, they caught lightning in a bottle on that, though. And I'll age myself on this one, Andy. I mean, you had Goldmine and you had Salesforce in the 2000-ish year.
Yeah.
And Goldmine made some, in my opinion, in hindsight, you can be right. I mean, they were native on boxes, and Salesforce was in the cloud, and you could get it on your salespeople's devices. And it was just a better platform. It was just, like you say, easy to grab and lightning in a bottle, because it was right when CRMs really were changing the way companies were managing their sales process. But the other thing I wanted to add here, Sam, is, and it's the last slide, that was their growth strategy. I think you have to look at that as an incomplete slide. They're a $21 billion company saying they want to be 50 in 5 years. There was nothing on that page that takes them to $50 billion. They're going to have to take a big hunk of that cash and do some real acquisition work or expand somewhere in order to get that type of growth and actually get to 50B.
So they have been really, really selective in terms of the kind of ecosystems that they want to go after. So I don't know. And they are the only company, I guess, that have acquired such massive companies. I think these are very, very, very risky acquisition, if you think from the business perspective. So Phil, I don't know if this is going to be Workday, man. I mean, that's a possibility, I'm telling you.
but it's got, my point is aligned with that, whether it's Workday or not, it's got to be something big for them to accomplish. Yeah. You know, even with the growth they're getting, you know, they just grew 24% on their $21 billion, and they want to be at 50 in 5 years. That's a huge goal. But the other thing when it comes to growth and acquisitions, while we're on, I was going to do this one at the end, Sam, but I'm interested in your view. I think MuleSoft is really the interesting outlier here because it's an API development tool, right, at its heart. And so that's not just integrating with Salesforce. I saw Salesforce with a lot of advantage that they had a lot of off-the-shelf integration tools for all the good, bigger known ERP systems. So that's just an interesting to me. It almost makes me wonder if they're actually going to go out there and really scoop up a couple actual ERP companies.
So in my mind, I don't think MuleSoft is the outlier. MuleSoft was a very smart acquisition, to be honest, okay? Every ERP company that you are going to have, they are going to have some sort of IPaaS as part of their view. SAP call it a CPI, cloud platform integration. Your Oracle is going to have, Oracle obviously has presence there. Dell had Dell Boomi. So every company was trying to get that integration pie because this is how they sort of push their product. So for example, let's say if you have MuleSoft, your strategy is going to be, I am going to be developing every single connector that actually pushes for product as opposed to something else. So again, as a customer, what you should be thinking is if you're buying MuleSoft, you are tight coupling yourself with Salesforce a lot because the MuleSoft is vendor owned. When it was vendor agnostic, typically your goal should be to create that vendor agnostic architecture. But now every company is trying to push their own integration platform, and that's how they push their products. So here in my mind, I think MuleSoft was a very smart acquisition, and they are number one in that category. If you look at the integration, if you look at analytics, if you look at CRM, but in my mind, the biggest outlier is only Slack. If they are really trying to get to $3 billion, I don't know how they are going to convert that into revenue. WhatsApp did really well in the developing markets. They are able to commercialize that. Okay, whatever Facebook paid for WhatsApp, WhatsApp is doing really well from the communication perspective. But I don't know if they will be able to monetize to an extent that they are going to get to the $50 billion. They could have paid this to something else, but then there was a threat from Microsoft that they may have acquired Slack. And then I don't know what Salesforce would have done. So obviously it's a very tricky place to be, but they could have acquired something like Workday in place of Slack, and they could have got far more revenue But, you know, from the long-term perspective, it's a different.
Well, I'm going to push back a little on Sam Gupta, okay, which is always a dangerous place to live in these. But Slack makes more sense to me in their sales service marketing, yeah, architecture of what's important than MuleSoft. And I think MuleSoft is a precursor to something else because, and here's my argument, Salesforce was already so big, Sam, that they had all of those off-the-shelf apps that had API built-up connectors. You could get a Salesforce connection to almost any ERP system almost off the shelf. You didn't need MuleSoft to develop it. So I still think that's the outlier to an extent that it's leading to something else in my mind. Whereas Slack, I think you said it earlier, Slack was probably a defensive play because they had lost out with LinkedIn to Microsoft. And they probably grabbed on that just so that Microsoft wouldn't scoop it. So I think that's as easy as a good argument on the reason.
So the only comment I'm going to have there, Phil, for you, when you are into that integration play, you can do a lot more. You have a lot more control overall in the architecture. And that's why, in my mind, I think the iPaaS play is very, very, very strong. We'll find out where they are going to grow and what they are going to acquire next. But right now, I think I'm super confident on MuleSoft. I'm not as confident on Slack, but we'll see. We'll find out.
Okay, that was fun, Sam.
It was fun. Okay, so here, you know, we are looking at some of the comments related to the architecture. So multi-tenancy is the architectural approach that any of the cloud companies that have taken in the market, Salesforce started born in the cloud, as we all know, and most of the companies are going to have that multi-tenant architecture. So there are no surprises here. And they are trying to spread the cost of delivering our service across our user base and scale our business faster than traditional software vendors. No surprises there. Our services to our customers from infrastructure designed and operated by us, but secured within third-party data center facilities. So this is where they are saying that they have the third-party data center facilities, but they are still operating. So I would think that this is probably going to be similar arrangement as some of the other players that we have seen. Salesforce was primarily on AWS. That's my understanding of their offering. So it seems like they have some presence in the third-party data center as well. So here they are saying we also provide our services via cloud computing platform partners who offer infrastructure as a service, including servers, storage, databases, and networking. In December 2022, we announced Hyperforce. And guys, this is the strategic move. So I don't know where this is going to go, but this is very, very, very interesting, Hyperforce. A reimagination of our platform architecture built to securely and reliably deliver the customer 360 platform on major public clouds. So basically what they are trying to do, in my mind, is they are trying to develop that vendor agnostic architecture so that they can decouple themselves with AWS. And obviously they don't want to align themselves with Microsoft because obviously that's their largest competitor. We sell to businesses of all sizes in almost every industry worldwide. Subscription at each of our customers range from 100 to thousands. We have discussed this, that they are targeting not just the enterprise customer, they are also targeting a lot of SME customers too. We do not have any material dependencies on any specific product, service, or particular group or groups. Okay, in case of Workday, they were very dependent upon enterprise customers. In case of Salesforce, they are far more diversified. Here they are saying we sell our services primarily through our direct sales force. We have discussed this, that's their primary distribution model, but obviously they are selling through some of the SIs and the large system integrators, but that's not their primary bread and butter. We focus our marketing activities on the cities and countries with the largest market opportunity. That's how they are thinking. They are not like Appian, where they are going after the smallest. I mean, you could have whatever strategy you want. Obviously, Salesforce is really big, so they are going after the largest market opportunity. Here, some of the risks that they have identified, and this risk is really important overall from the product strategy perspective. So they have very clearly outlined that a failure by us to expand our services beyond the CRM market and to develop and integrate our existing services in order to keep pace with the technological developments. So Phil, integration is always a tricky keyword in the enterprise software market. So obviously, that's a big risk for them. If SAP does not allow them to integrate with them, or they are trying to create some sort of block, which any vendor can do, to be honest. I mean, they don't have to allow integration, but Salesforce is this big, they have large market share, that's why they are allowing, but any vendor can block anybody, and then they just don't want to do that. And then how are you going to use Salesforce? So that's why this is a risk for Salesforce, that number one, they should be able to penetrate beyond your CRM market, and they should be able to integrate with the other products, and integration is always going to be extremely tricky when you are working on these enterprise deals. Here they are saying our offerings include Work.com, Customer 360 Truth, and other offerings remain relatively new, and it is uncertain whether our efforts and related investments will ever result in significant revenue for us. Obviously, they are trying a lot of new things. I would be doubtful as well, because that is very new and there is no guarantee that they are going to get the revenue. If you are trying the enterprise software play, which is already proven, tried and tested, you are going after ACM market where you have, let's say, $10 million revenue already sitting on a table. Obviously, that's far less riskier because you have a proven revenue there. But, they are trying for newer things. This could result in something like CRM, or this might result into $0, who knows. So we'll see how this is going to work out. But so far, Salesforce has been able to create the newer markets, and they are really, really good at that. So the introduction of significant platform changes and upgrades, such as our introduction of Hyperforce, which is another new thing that they are trying, may not succeed. And early stage interest and adoption of such new services may not result in long-term success or significant revenue for us. I can take any comments if you guys have, or move to the next one. Okay, so obviously they rely a lot on the third-party marketplace, and the sales and marketing play, the third-party marketplace is very, 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 very significant. You are always looking at the newer things such as integration with these phone, technology. When you get a call, then you want to have that lead in front of your screen. Now, when you talk about these integration, number one, these integrations are slightly easier, more from the technical perspective. Okay, they are not as difficult as your financial or operational integration, which are always difficult because now you are operating on the financial data. You are operating on your customer record. Here, you are just doing, a bunch of calls. If you don't are not as accurate with your analytics, that's going to be okay. So that's why in the sales and marketing world, your integration are going to be far more successful as the marketplace. And that's why the Salesforce marketplace is really successful compared to the other ERP marketplaces that we have. So here they are saying, if third-party developers and providers do not constitute to embrace our technology delivery model and the enterprise cloud computing services, or if our customer seek warranties, guys, now this is the add-on risk that we always have. Okay, so Salesforce is not liable for if you don't get results because of Salesforce plus that add-on. Okay, Salesforce is not going to be liable for that. Okay, if Salesforce does not work, that's because you are buying Salesforce plus add-on. Salesforce is not liable for that. This is you as a customer who is bearing that risk. So you need to figure out, okay, do I really want to go for Salesforce? In case of ERP play, that could be far riskier because, if your core component that is actually going to drive your business operations and the financials, if that doesn't work, then, I don't know what you're doing because you are completely reliant on that vendor who is providing you the core ERP functionality that obviously Salesforce is not going to be liable for. They are going to be liable only for their platform. Here they are saying our success depends on the willingness of a growing community of third-party developers and technology providers to build applications and provide integrations, data, and content that are complementary to our services. A third-party technology partner access to their data. We do not provide any warranty related to the functionality, security, integrity of the data access. By the way, they are also talking about the data integrity. Now, if you don't have that in case of your financial world, you are at a very high risk. In case of CRM, nobody cares if you are going to lose a bunch of leads. That's still not the customer. You don't have their credit card. So what? But in case of your operational and financial world, it's going to be very different. So here, despite contract provisions to protect us, customers may look to us to support and provide warranties for the third-party applications, integrations, data, and content, even though not developed or sold by us, which may expose us to potential claims, liabilities, and obligations, all of which could harm our reputation. So they are not worried about the claims because obviously the customer is never going to win because Salesforce is not liable, but reputation, that's the PR play. So Salesforce still have to suffer because of that.
I wonder here, Sam, if their whole integration of Slack will make sense here, where they actually bring all these third-party add-ons, their own sales agents and companies all together at one place. Because many times if we have add-ons from different companies, we don't get the best customer support that we would like. And so ultimately, we are talking Salesforce, but it's not, right? Salesforce, as they are stating, they are not liable for those add-ons, the companies that provide add-ons. makes life simpler, most customized for the customers. So I'm thinking maybe Slack would be one of their way where they bring all of this and maybe improve the customer support experience.
So the only comment I'm going to have is there is a difference between your technical integration versus operational integration. When one of the functions of the operational integration is going to be hijacked by a tool, that's a much different risk than your technical integration. In the scenario that you are describing, it's still not as severe. You can, you know, have fancy apps, let customers collaborate. As long as they are not placing order on Slack, you know, you are probably going to be okay.
Agreed.
Yeah. So here, you know, one of the comments related to these are the acquisitions that they have done. So one of the, you know, acquisition that they have is the Velocity. The acquisition date fair value of consideration transferred for Velocity was approximately $1.4 billion. Guys, they paid a lot for a bar. Can you believe that? Okay, these are the guys who actually built industry functionality on top of Salesforce platform, and they ended up acquiring that because obviously that was critical for them to be able to win deals in the insurance communication media vertical. And Velocity was really strong. I'll you know, show you a couple of feature sets that were really critical for them to get there. The next acquisition that they have is the EverGage is a cloud-based real-time personalization and the customer data platform. Now, as I mentioned, SAP, Oracle, Microsoft, everybody has customer data platform. So obviously Salesforce had to get that because that's probably the future, you know, of commerce. Not many companies are really utilizing capabilities of the customer 360 or the customer data platform, but that's definitely a future that a lot of companies are going to be doing. And that's the reason why they had acquired this for roughly $100 million to make sure that they are covered from that perspective. Now, Click Software is the company that they have acquired, and that's how they got the field service management solution. So now they are probably going to be competing with likes of the ServiceNow and obviously the Microsoft as well. That is their main competitor. Now here they are saying Salesforce.org, they have done a little bit of spin-off for this not-for-profit, and they are saying that, you know, one-time cash payment of $300 million for all shares of Salesforce.org to the independent non-consolidated Salesforce.com Foundation, which is going to serve the company. And Salesforce.org had existing reseller and resource sharing agreements that, among other things, allowed Salesforce.org the right to resell select company offerings and related upgraded support to non-profit organizations and for-profit and non-profit educational institution. So I think there is a little strategic problem here. The reason why they must have spun off this is because obviously as the Salesforce or for-profit entity, I don't know if they were able to win these deals because sometimes there could be conflict of interest and they must be losing. That's why they had to spun off. And now this is basically serving that public sector vertical that I don't know what would be the driver why they would spin this off, but that could be one reason why they must have done it. If you guys have any other insights, I'm happy to take that. The other acquisition that they have done is the CloudCraze. CloudCraze is a commerce platform that allows businesses to generate online revenue and scale for growth. CloudCraze delivers integration across commerce, sales, marketing, and service. So this is what was done in 2018 as well. I don't know if this is how they got the commerce capabilities, but seems like they have got all of these capabilities very recently, and this is how they are trying to penetrate into the other verticals. They map anything, you know, acquisition that they got is the for the field service. This is how they are doing the map-based visualizations, asset tracking, route optimization for field sales and service teams. Obviously, this is critical for them because they must have a lot of threat from ServiceNow because ServiceNow is actually moving space as well. So, and ServiceNow is far more natural to those field service use cases and the IT asset use case than your Salesforce is going to be. So, you know, there is a little bit of competitive battle there. That's why they must have acquired MapAnything. And then Dataroma is something like your Zoom Info. That's how they got data. And that's why they wanted to acquire LinkedIn as well, to be able to integrate everything as part of one CRM platform. But obviously they could not acquire LinkedIn. But Dataroma is also part of the Salesforce CRM play. Now, if you actually look at their roles, this is similar to what we saw in case of Workday. So they don't like to target everybody in the organization. Right now, they are simply targeting sales, service, marketing, IT. Okay, they are calling digital, but as we all know, digital does not mean anything. There are some companies that have the digital very clearly identified. Typically, that is either going to belong to marketing, customer service, sometimes IT, depending upon how you see it. But these are sales, service, and marketing are the personas that they are typically targeting. the industries, if you actually look at their main industries are going to be financial services, healthcare and life sciences, communications. Consumer goods is there. There are some scenarios in consumer goods which might be tricky for Salesforce, but they are not necessarily targeting those ERP-centric industries. Okay, their play is still very financial services, healthcare, communications. That's where they've been most. Now, if you actually look at some of the banking verticals, we have not seen any players being present in those verticals, to be honest. I mean, these were very custom development shops. If you look at the investment banking, retail bank, companies like Accenture and TCS, they did wonders in those verticals because they were all developing the custom products. So this was a new play for Salesforce that they could really get into that and they could sell CRM. That's why this is a new market. So obviously they have a lot of different features here that are really designed for those financial services vertical. If you actually pay attention to the feature set, that is going to be very unique that you are not going to find anywhere else and that only Salesforce has. And that's why Salesforce really wins in those verticals. But again, it is because of those functional capabilities. It's not just because of the technical capability, CRM, that they are able to provide omnichannel experience. It is those functional capabilities where you are getting a lot more out of the box for the banking customers that you are never going to find in SAP. Some more examples here. For example, let's say if you look at the insurance vertical, in their case as well, they are going to require very unique feature set to manage their entire deal flow, to manage their customer interaction. Traditionally, all of these platforms were custom built. Salesforce is able to penetrate into those verticals because they have out-of-the-box functionality for those verticals. But again, they are winning there because they have these deep feature set for those sales and marketing organizations that none of the other platforms have. But these are really the functional features. It's not just the technical product that Salesforce is being known for in the CRM play. So now, if you actually look at some of these spaces, such as your healthcare insurance, for example, payer and providers, the way they manage their relationship with the payers and providers, the way they are going to manage their member portfolio, it's very, very, very different. That's not your core ERP market. None of these companies ever utilize any sort of out-of-the-box CRM. So Salesforce actually could create a new market for all of these companies that now they are able to use the enterprise software and they are paying the license. But traditionally, these were very custom development shop that they had to build a lot of things from the ground up. But now Salesforce is penetrate into those verticals. And that's the reason why Salesforce is $50 million, guys. It's not that fast play because there are a million companies that could actually create SaaS, but they are very functionally rich in those industries that are slightly more non-ERP. They have, for example, patient-centric experiences. Again, you are not going to find this kind of experience anywhere else. Obviously, Salesforce provides very strong workflow for the patient experience. MedTech, I'm not too sure if they do really well in the MedTech space. Veeva is the CRM that really wins in the pharma and MedTech space. Salesforce does not win. And the only reason why Veeva wins against Salesforce is because of their functional richness of the product. Salesforce does not do as well in that vertical, but Salesforce must be winning at least some. Here, this is where the capabilities that came from Velocity, for example, if you look at the technical catalog. Now, if you look at these slides, you are going to feel that this is very ERP-centric function. But when you look at the product administration, when you look at the technical catalog, such as create and manage technical products, decomposition rules, and orchestration plans, okay? This is not your commerce products, guys. Okay, this is the communication. They have very different life cycle, the way these products behave. And that's why Salesforce does really well in those spaces. I'm pretty sure they got these capabilities from the Velocity acquisition because they built on top of the Salesforce platform. But again, the only reason why Salesforce is winning in those spaces is because of these functional capabilities that I don't know if any other platforms can provide natively unless they are using some sort of add-ons provided by the vendors. Now, here, if you look at the communication, now communication are going to be companies such as your telecom. There, you are going to have enterprise product catalog, simplified product management and order fulfillment with a unified catalog. Catalog management is a big deal, guys. In case of communications, they have really complex catalog. Maintaining that is very, very, very difficult. And the reason why SAP acquired companies like, I think, Callidus Cloud, because they could do a lot more things. But again, I think Salesforce is going to have far deeper capabilities. So even SAP is probably going to struggle there against Salesforce, especially in these workflows. They might be stronger in the financial operations ERP, but they might be struggling in these workflows. And that's why the bigger companies are probably going to go with Salesforce plus SAP, Salesforce plus Oracle. That's what they would do. So that's pretty much it on this slide. The consumer goods is the similar. Here we have things like trade promotions. Again, managing trade promotions is very, very, very hard inside ERP when you have to manage that entire B2B workflow from the dealer perspective when you are doing, let's say, the fund allocation so that they can run their marketing plan. Now, implementing that inside CRM is a very tricky task. Implementing that in ERP, because ERPs were never designed for the sales and marketing department. And that's why Salesforce does really, really well in those B2B workflows when you have to maintain your trade promotions, when you have to do account planning, when you have to do robust territory planning. That's where Salesforce really shines in providing that thick workflow for the sales organizations as well as the marketing organizations. Here, again, I think I am getting a little hint here that they are trying to do a lot of HCM capabilities. As you can see, they are trying to do hire to retire, which is typically the HCM process. So I don't know what's next for them, but they are definitely hinting a lot more that they are working on things related to experience. But we will find out in the next coming years, which is going to be their next acquisition. Obviously, they are going to acquire somebody to be able to meet the 50 billion goals that they have set out for themselves. So we are going to find that out.
A lot of really great information there, Sam. An amazing company, just a fabulous company. Two things. One of them is that you mentioned their higher price model, but their direct selling model is a very... Let's put it this way. They use their own sales funnel and follow-up and marketing processes to a T. It's hard to have a meeting with a Salesforce rep without having it be professionally ran from a sales standpoint. They know exactly where you are, why you're having the meeting, and they're trying to sell you that next good bell and whistle for their software. And I mean that complimentary. They really do train their people amazingly. And the second one, I just want to reiterate, I'm going to be fascinated to see what they do with that cloud play. And whether that is truly going to be, they said, a public cloud, or is that really going to be to decouple of them from potential competitors, or are they actually getting into the cloud business? And I think that's another really interesting one to watch.
I agree. Andy, Sneha?
I was going to say, great comments, Phil. They are a higher priced product than a lot of the other CRMs out there, but it's supply and demand. I mean, they've got the name brand, they've got the name recognition. People are buying it just from that, and they're willing to pay more. And the fact that it's even a great product is even better.
But I mean, you know, honestly speaking, the product really works for if you have very sophisticated sales process and the sales department, you probably need that. I have seen companies getting challenged with the other product. It's not that easy. Salesforce is not just the product brand.
Very advanced CRM system, though.
Yeah. Sneha?
Yes. Thanks, Sam. You brought in a lot of new information for me as well that I have to really keep a close eye at. I would have to say, like, as I said, this is by far the most powerful CRM tool that I have used. And the usability, in terms of a user usability experience, it's great. I know that Salesforce also has, like, their leadership has, they want to invest in low-code automation tools, so which clearly indicates why they want the user interface to be more seamless. And, you know, there's only so much and so far that they can spend in, you know, training people. So they do want to invest in automation. I also have seen that they, like, you know, you were talking a lot about acquisitions, and Phil brought a great point. Like, how do they actually, what's their path to go from this from current state to $50 billion? And I've read that they have been, like, looking into VC bets. So looks like they will definitely go into some, you know, acquisition. What those acquisitions would be, we don't know, but clearly, like, something to watch out for that space. But thanks for this interesting discussion. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Sam, she made a great point. The UX on Salesforce is amazing, just amazing what you can do without writing code.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. Any other comments, guys?
Nope, just keep these sessions coming. They're so useful, so informative.
Guys, in closing, the Salesforce platform is amazing. There is no question about that. It's the number one CRM. That's their play. If you are using the Salesforce for the ERP play, pay attention to where they are strong and where they are winning and which are the add-ons that you might be utilizing for some of the core ERP industries. And unless you are trying to create that best of breed architecture, which obviously has a cost and price tag associated with it, when you have to integrate Salesforce with some of these platforms, the bigger companies can afford. But if you are a small to medium sized company, you really need to pay attention to whether you can afford that integration, because sometimes that integration could be very thick. But obviously, if you are buying for the core CRM functionality, Salesforce is definitely, you should be looking at, you know, as the CRM platform, especially if they might have very thick sales and marketing functionality for your industry. On that note, guys, if you're joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We pick one vendor or the solution and we review that independently. And we are always going to have a bunch of stories that we cover as part of the show. So make sure you are not going to miss next week's show. We are going to be here with another vendor or the solution. On that note, thank you everybody for their time and insights.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to essoft.com. It's ESSOFT.com. If you want to learn more about Phil Kerper, head over to ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. It's ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. If you want to learn more about Sneha Kamari, follow and connect with her on LinkedIn. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Daniel Engelbreston, who shares his insights into the demand generation strategies for new product development. Also, the interview with Tom Rodden, who discusses the nuances of medical device manufacturing and how it differs from generalized manufacturing. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.